Good morning. Oh, come on now. Good morning. Coffee or Mountain Dew or whatever it may be needs to kick in a little bit on this illustrious day. We're glad that you're here with us this morning. Look around. Give somebody a smile, a wave. I know that you're doing your best to social distance, but waves travel. So give everybody a wave. If you're joining us by way of our online service today, say hello to Dr. Cazito, whom I love and adore and appreciate. He's back there monitoring our online audience. Let him know that you're there. Make some noise for him and give him a wave, a hello, or whatever. If you see those that are on our online feed that you know, say hello to them too. You're part of our congregation as well, and we're so glad that that you have chosen to join us on this Sunday morning. As we have a little bit of overcast sky, we've seen all kinds of seasons. Welcome to North Carolina if you're not from around here. But it's a beautiful North Carolina day. Now, it might change before it's over with as far as just in a few hours. But at any rate, it's a good day to have the opportunity to gather in the house of the Lord to worship Him. Let us look to the Lord in a word of prayer as we begin this morning. Father, as we come to You, we're grateful and thankful again for this opportunity. Lord, there are times that we take so many things for granted, and we just ask that You would help us today to truly understand the blessing that it is to be able to gather around Your Word with Your people. Lord, we pray that You would just give us ears to hear what the Spirit will say to us today, because we know as we have gathered, You are here in our midst, and there's something that You want to speak into each and every one of our hearts and our lives. Lord, whether it's to reach out to the one that's lost and draw them unto You, or Father, whether it is to reach out to the one that is walking a wayward path. But whatever it may be, Father, You've got a word for us today through song, through Your word, and through the opportunity that You have given us today to be able to gather in Your name. We're grateful and we're thankful for that. And Lord, may we utilize it to the maximum benefit, not only for our lives, but the lives of those that are around us. Bless our time together today. Lord, speak to us as only You can. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you all for singing last week. My voice is halfway back, and we were going to do Holy, Holy, Holy last week, and we skipped that, and I wanted to start with that this year, this week. When I grew up, it was always number one in the book, and I thought for the first Sunday of the year it would have been fun, and now it's number two. But anyway, I want to sing Holy, 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 and look forward to having you back. Thank you. Please stand with me as we sing.
Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, early in the morning our song shall rise to Thee. Holy, 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 merciful and mighty, God in three persons, blessed Trinity. Holy, 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 all the saints adore Thee, casting down their golden crowns around the blessing sea.
seated. Before we start our next song, Bless His Holy Name, I want to mention that, as I mentioned a few weeks ago, we are going to be starting the choir soon. We're kind of waiting to see a good time with when everybody's feeling up to it, but that'll be on Wednesday nights, and we'll announce that time soon, but hopefully pretty soon. So anybody who's been thinking about getting back involved in the music ministry, and I won't look at anybody, we'd love to have you, and so we're excited about that. And also want to thank all those on the praise team for the last fall who were singing out. Really appreciate that each week. Thank you.
Your Bible this morning, go ahead and turn with me, if you would, to the book of Psalm 51. Psalm 51. You know, as we gather, I know there are times in our lives when we can consider the fact that there have been joyful times. I mean, times in your life that you can go back and you can point to, whether there were certain circumstances or events, or whether there were just simply a time in life where you seem to have more joy than you have right now. You know what I'm talking about? By the way, this is a yes. All of us have been through some tough spells in our lives. Yeah, there have been times when life has changed. You know, whether it's a temporary period of time or whether it's something that just seems to linger, there are times that we can go back and we can remember and we can consider where there was more joy about us, where there was more joy about those that were around us. Now, as you think about that and consider those things in your lives, David was one of those guys. Now, King David, we know a lot about him. We look at him as one of the biblical heroes, don't we? Yeah, we look at him as one of those guys that God had his hand on, that God led him, you know, through some very interesting paths. I mean, for me, I think one of the biggest things with David and one of the greatest lessons throughout this man's life, King David's life, was the time, if you will remember, when he was running from Saul and he was hiding in the cave. And, you know, he had his men that were with him that were hiding as well. And Saul actually had to stop and go to the bathroom and just, you know, picked the cave that David was in. And remember, David's men were sitting there saying, this has got to be it. This has got to be God ordained. Out of all the places, out of all the caves, out of all the places for Saul to go relieve himself, God has delivered him into your hand. But yet there was still something that just didn't feel right about that with David. Now, if you remember, that's the passage where he cut the corner of his robe off, and then after Saul went out of the cave, David said, look, man, I'm not trying to hurt you. I'm not trying to kill you. Look, if I was going to do that, I could have done it right here at this point. So, you know, one of the big lessons was, if that was us, most of us would have probably listened to what David's men were telling him, saying, hey, God set this up. It can't get any more perfect for you to take him out and be the king that God had promised you to be. But yet there was still some tension, a little bit of tension going on there that David listened to. Now, as great as he was through all these times and all these things we read about, David, like us, also had an issue. He fell into an issue of sin. We also know the story of Bathsheba, don't we? Yeah, David was where he shouldn't have been, looking where he shouldn't have been looking, acting on something he should not have been acting on. Yeah, how many times have we sat back in our lives and looked at that and said, you know what? Wrong place, wrong time, wrong circumstance, wrong situation. Now, let me make you this promise. Satan loves to set you up in that predicament, period. If there is a wrong place, he'll want you there. If there's a wrong time, he'll set it up for you to be there. Because he is anxiously looking for your fall. That's what he wants, plain and simple. Now, what is it that God is telling us? You see, when David got in the midst of this situation, we know how his circumstance with Bathsheba snowballed. Bathsheba became with child. You know, one of the big problems was Bathsheba was married and her husband was off at war. So, you know, David is thinking, he starts at this particular point to manipulate. There's something missing in David's life at this point. One of those things is joy. How's the joy in your life right now? See, David is trying to make a cover up for his sin. So he's thinking, well, maybe I can manipulate this situation. Well, I'll just get Uriah. I'm the king. I can do this. I'll just get Uriah to come back. And he'll spend a little time with his wife. I'm trying to make this as G-rated as possible. He'll spend some time with his wife. And then they will just think that the child is his. Well, Uriah comes back, but Uriah doesn't spend any time with his wife. He says, it's not fair. My men are out at battle, and they're out there. It's not right for me to do that. So, you know, I'm just going to stay here. I'm going to sleep outside your place here, David. Well, then David's plan didn't work. See, he becomes even more manipulative and more conniving, and he finally says, well, then we'll just have to get rid of him. So he tells the warriors there, they said, well, you get Uriah, you put him up on the front of the heaviest battle, and you all fall back so that he'll be killed. And that's exactly what happened. David takes Bathsheba as a wife, and all is right with the world, right? Wrong. You see, he might have fooled a lot of people, but he never fooled God. Not one single bit. If you will remember, David continued to try to, I guess you would say, cover up what had taken place. He thought, it's behind him now, but yet it wasn't. And if you remember, the prophet came to him, and the prophet says to him, real simply, he says this. He says, let me tell you this little story. He says, there was this story about this fella, and he had a little lamb, and it was the only possession he had. It was his most prized possession. And a fella came by and took that lamb away from him. Well, this infuriated David. David said, well, you tell me who that is, and I'll make sure that things get right. And the prophet said to him, David, you are that man. He called him on the carpet right there. You see, David was miserable in that time. During that time that he was concealing that sin, and during that time that he was going through that situation, he had lost his joy. Do you understand what I'm talking about? Some of us have lost our joy. Remember the old expression, and we sing it in songs and everything else, that the joy of the Lord is our strength. Where is our joy? You see, when we get in the middle of our circumstances and situations and we begin to evaluate them, we don't like where we are. I would be willing to say that the majority of people today don't like where you are. And when I say you don't like where you are, I'm talking about the condition, the situation of the world, the condition, the situation with your job, the condition, the situation with your family, the condition, the situation with your relationships. All that's changed by circumstances that in many cases have been outside or beyond your control, right? I mean, this pandemic has done that to people. We have gotten irritable and grouchy, haven't we? Stuff that used to be easy is not easy anymore. I mean, order a package. If you can get it, yeah, it's usually delayed. Sometimes it goes to the wrong place. And we've heard it till we're about sick of hearing it, because every issue is COVID related, isn't it? Where's my package? Well, we're short staffed because of COVID. We're this, we're that, we're the other thing. And it's made us grouchy, hasn't it? Come on now, confession's good for the soul. It's made us grouchy. Nothing is like it used to be. And some of our joy has gone away. David's joy had gone away because of his circumstance, because of his sin. Now, the passage we're going to look at today is dealing with a man who is getting right with God. David, after he's been called on the carpet by the prophet, after he has run and tried to hide and cover his sin for so long, he realizes that it's futile. And he begins to make confession before God. In this passage of Psalm 51, and we're just going to deal with a few verses of his confession today. But Psalm 51, beginning with verse 10, says this: create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me by your generous spirit. Let's pray. Father, your word is truly quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And Lord, today, as we look in on David's confession before you, Father, we pray that in the midst of our loss of joy, you will help us to see how it might be restored. Lord, that you want to do some incredible things in our lives. You want to use us in the lives of other people. And Father, the true joy that we have is not based upon our outward and ever-changing circumstances, Lord, but rather in an unchanging God. May we find our joy in the right place today. Father, may we confess before you. May we get things right with you. that as we go away from here today, we can do so with peace in our heart and peace in our mind and joy above all things that truly shows forth that you are our strength. As Father, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, when we look at these passages, we begin to see some things that David is doing. First of all, he is crying out to God. That's the best place you can go in the middle of these circumstances and situations is to God. And he says in that verse 10, he's asking him to do something. He says, create in me a clean heart. That means he is confessing that his heart's not clean, that his heart's not right. And Lord, I want you to create within me a clean heart. If you've ever tucked sin away in your life, you've realized God's not going to give you rest, right? You realize that the conviction and the power of the Holy Spirit is there, and you're not going to have a minute's worth of peace. And David is crying out to God, I want you to create within me a clean heart, one that is acceptable in your presence. Now, when we think about this, we also have to think about and remember who David is. David was a king. David was the guy who pretty much could get whatever he wanted. He is the leader of the people. He is their leader politically. He is supposed to be their leader spiritually. He was even a leader musically because he was a musician. We know that. Yeah, we reread it all through the Psalms. To the chief musician, he was a song leader. And yet he was a man who had a failure. He had failures just like you and I. Now, I don't want to say that we should take courage in the fact that others have failed, but we should take courage in the fact realizing that there is restoration with God when we have failed. When the joy is gone, when the joy is no longer there, as we focus on these verses, David had known something in the past. He had known the joy of his salvation. I'm just going to give you a couple verses. I don't want you to turn there, but throughout the book of Psalms in chapter 9, verse 1, he says, I will praise thee. In Psalm 21, 1, it says, the king shall joy in thy strength. Psalm 23, 5 says, my cup runneth over. Psalm 34, 1 says, I will bless the Lord at all times. Now, this guy sounds like one who understands and knows what walking in the joy of the Lord is like, doesn't it? And yet, he has come to a place where he has been broken down methodically. Where he has just been dismantled by the Lord. Not only that, you got to realize, David didn't just come out and confess his sin, did he? He hid it for whatever reason. Whether it was embarrassment, whether it was the fact that he was the king and he shouldn't have to answer to anybody, whatever it may be, Satan is going to hand you 10,000 excuses for the reason why you should not repent before the Lord, doesn't he? You know what we call those? We call those excuses. Well, Lord, I deserved it. No. Well, Lord, no. Well, what about that? No. Listen, we're comparing ourselves the wrong way. We're comparing ourselves this way when we need to be comparing ourselves this way. And David, in the midst of his situation, has lost the joy of the Lord. Have you lost the joy of the Lord today? Does your walk with God mean what it used to mean? Yeah, do you remember the time that you were excited to be in the presence of God in His Word? To be in the presence of God through prayer? To be in the presence of God with God's people? Or has Satan dismantled your joy? And we've allowed it. Well, I don't like him. I don't like her. I don't like this. I don't like that. I don't like the way this is going. I don't like... Listen, there are enough I don't likes to go around to fill this world up, isn't it? Where's your joy in the Lord? Because the joy of the Lord truly is our strength. Is God going to have to get our attention in the same way that he got David's? Is he going to have to drive us to repentance? Is he going to have to back us into a corner to get us to turn these things over to Him, to confess that sin before Him, to realize that we want the joy of the Lord restored and renewed in our lives. David had lost the joy of his salvation. Now I want you to notice, go back to those verses with me again. Notice what he says in verse 12. He says, "Restore to me the joy of your salvation." Now, the first word in verse 12 is a very important word, restore. Now, as simple as this may sound, I want to give you Webster's definition of the word restore. Restore means to give back someone or something that was lost or taken, to return someone or something, to put or to bring something back into existence or into use. You know what that essentially means? To be able to restore something means that it had to exist before. Restore it. We know that. We understand what restore means. You look at something and you say, well, hey, somebody gets this old car or what have you, and say, are you going to restore it? Are you going to bring it back to its normal brand new look? Are you going to refinish it? What are you going to do? Are you going to restore it? And notice what he said. Restore to me the joy. Bring back the joy of your salvation. He didn't say my salvation, did he? He said your salvation. You know what? First thing we got to realize is that it's not about us. It's not about me. It's about God. It's about the salvation He has provided. It is about us walking in the way He would want us to talk. It is about us being His bond servant. It is about us being instruments in the hand of God. So folks, the first thing we have to understand for joy of our salvation to be restored is that it's not about me. It's not about I. It's not about my. It's not about number one. It's about Him. Can we do that? Can we cry out and ask God to restore to me the joy of your salvation? Do you remember those days when you were a more joyful Christian? I'll tell you this. I don't know what the past couple years has done to people, but I can tell you this. There just doesn't seem to be much joy floating around at all, is it? I mean, by the way, that's infiltrated the church. That's infiltrated God's people. We have become the saddest sack of people I have ever seen in my life. Nothing is like it used to be. And here's the key. You're right, it's not. Except for one thing. There's one thing that hasn't changed. There's one thing that's just like it's always been. And guess what that is? God Almighty. He has not changed through the storms of life. He has not changed through the storms of society. He has not changed through the pandemic. So if He hasn't changed, what has? If He hasn't removed our joy, we've lost it. And if we've lost it, whose fault is it? It's not God's fault. It's our fault. Lord, woe is me. Sometimes I keep thinking that God is saying, look, why don't y'all just suck it up, Buttercup? You all have been so blessed in your life. You have been so privileged. You've walked this walk, and it's been an easy trail. And a little bit of adversity hits, and y'all go, man, lose your cotton picking mind. That's what he's saying to American Christians today. Listen, we don't know what it's like to suffer. We know what it's like now to be a little uncomfortable. But have we really suffered for the cause of Christ? No, we haven't. And the Lord looks at us and says, come on, man. That's biblical, you know. I don't know what that is in Hebrew, but come on, man. What are you doing? Why have you allowed the certain situations to suck all of the joy completely out of your life? Well, my job's this or that. You're not identified by your job. Well, this or that. God knows what's going on. He knows what's taking place. What is your identity in the Father? All I know is this. It is a joy to be in the presence of the Father. And maybe today, God has gotten our attention in the same fashion that He got David's attention. You see, David's deal was because of sin, because of trying to cover it up. God's not going to allow that. If that's you, same message holds forth to you today. You cannot cover up sin in your life. And you cannot outrun God. If you're trying, just give up. He created all of it. He knows every hiding place. He knows everything. He will pin you down just like He did David with the prophet. But David got to the point where he didn't want to be miserable anymore. Do you not want to be miserable anymore? Do you want the joy back? Yeah, it's interesting that I have actually had mixed answers to that question in life along the way. I'm like, don't you want your joy back? Well, I just don't know. See, I believe there are some people that really don't want their joy back. They'd rather gripe and complain and moan. How many of y'all know somebody like that? If they ain't griping, they ain't happy. All of us. Don't worry, the cameras aren't on you. Some people live for that. They live to be that monkey wrench in the gear of life. You see, I don't know about you. But I want to be like David. I want to be able to go to God and say, verse 10, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Lord, I know life's falling apart. I know my job's falling apart. I know my family's falling apart. I know things aren't the way that they used to be. And I've let it overcome me. I've let it steal my joy. But Lord, I want you to create within me a clean heart and renew, restore, bring back a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence. Listen, if we know the power of God, the last place in the world we want to be is separated from Him. Don't cast me away from your presence, O God. And do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Lord, I desperately am coming back to you. I genuinely am coming back to you because I realize there will be no joy in my life without you. There will be no peace in my life without you. And Lord, I'm coming home. It's that old hymn we sing, coming home, coming home. Lord, I'm coming home. I want to be in your presence. You know, we worry about stuff, don't we? We worry about things. And part of the reason why is because we're all really control freaks. We are. We want to be in control. We want it to be done the way we want it to be done. We want to be the person that's turning the steering wheel and operating the trigger. We want to be that person. And God says, I want you to let me drive the bus. A lot of us aren't real good passengers, are we? How many of you will admit I'm not a good passenger? Hallelujah. My people. Nobody can drive quite like you, can they? Now, some of you have people in your life that will test every ounce of nerve you have. They're carefree. They drive that person in your life drives down the road, and they're looking at everything but the road and the traffic, right? And you're going, and they're just hey, they'll look at you. Car in front of them stop. You're doing 60 miles an hour, and they're looking at you. You're like, ooh, we want to be in control. God says, I want you to let me be in control. Get in the passenger seat. I got this. I'll get you where you're going. I'll get you there not only on time. If we need to be there before time, I'll get you there before time because I am time. I know where all the good rest stops are. I know what the fuel mileage is. I created all that too. Can today you say to the Lord, create in me a clean heart and renew a steadfast spirit. Don't cast me away, Lord, I'm here. David had lost that joy. He had lost a lot of company. See, many are filled with gloom who were once filled with glory. Look at your life. Listen, if you're honest with yourself, you're going to say that's you today. I don't know a single person who can't say that was me. I used to have a lot of glory. I used to have a lot of smiles on my face. Now I am the biggest worry wart there ever was. I'm worried about this. I'm worried about that. I'm worried about my job. I'm worried about my family. I'm worried about my car. I'm worried about my bank account. I'm worried about my church. I'm worried about this. I'm worried about that. And by the way, worry's a sin. Amen? Many of you were once filled with glory, and now you just gloom. You got that black cloud following you around everywhere you go. And you know what the really bizarre part is? Everybody sees it. Remember the old cartoon, you know, some dude's walking around, he's got this little lightning storm going on over his head? Everybody sees it. Where is the glory? Many who were once blessed are now burdened. How many times have people say, well, how you doing today? I'm blessed. Now they're not saying that. How you doing today? Oh, well, I'll tell you one thing. If it gets any worse, I don't know what's going to happen. Lord have mercy. No, yeah, what? We got up today, and if you got up today, then you're better than you deserve. If you had breakfast this morning, you've got more than most people in this world. If you had heat in the house, you're very blessed. If your roof didn't leak during the rainstorms, you're blessed. We could count our blessings, and if we would, it would probably make us ashamed. You see, we should probably count our blessings a little more often, shouldn't we? There are many who were once filled with song who look like they've been eating sour persimmons. You ever notice that some people reflect what they feel inside? Sour. Listen, don't walk into the house of God looking like that. Do everybody a favor. See, this is where you should come in to be cheerful. Not that person who's looking for something to be sour about. Listen, you don't have to look far to find that, do you? That's all around us. Dare to be different. Dare to take up the challenge of the joy of the Lord being our strength. See, there are many people today who were once praising that are now pouting. You know why? Because you have been affected personally by one thing or the other. Whether it's society or whether it's sin, whether it was something that's outside of your control or whether it's something that's inside your control, it can suck the joy completely out of your life. And God never intended that for His children. If your children were miserable all the time, wouldn't that alert you to something? I mean, yeah, with some of you, it has. I know there are teachers in this room that you've seen children that had zero joy in their life, and you knew something was wrong. whether it was circumstances or situations at home or whatever it may be. And man, your heart just went out to them, didn't it? Your heart just broke. Because for a lot of those, you're sitting there going, here are circumstances and situations that were beyond their control. They had no control over it, but yet they're walking down this path. I've talked to people who have simply said, you know what, I would have given anything in my life for somebody to have come up to me and told me that they loved me, that they cared. Just telling me that would have changed everything about who I am, because it would have given me hope. See, David had messed up. He messed up pretty bad. He messed up with Bathsheba, and sin had robbed David of his joy. Has sin robbed you of your joy today? Have you allowed some sin to take root in your heart? Some sin that you've tried to duck, that you've tried to cover, that you've tried to hide? Listen, you may have been successful in hiding that to everybody around you, but you have never hid it from God Almighty. He knows. He's the only one that really matters. And today, your joy is gone because the seed of sin that resides in your life. You see, David longed to have the joy of his salvation restored. Now, my question for you today is this. Do you long to have the joy of salvation restored in your life? That's up to you. Why is that up to you? Because before that can start, it takes confession. It takes you being able to go to the Lord, just like David, to be able to say, Lord, I want you to create within me a clean heart. Restore unto me the joy. Lord, don't take the Holy Spirit from me. You've put me in time out. I'm over here in the corner. I don't want to be in time out anymore. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Lord, receive me back. And he will. You see, that's repentance. Repentance says, I don't want to be back in the corner. But boy, we got some stubborn people, don't we? Hoo-wee. Man, some of us are stubborn. It's either you or you grew up with somebody like that. You will push a bad position just to be right. You will sit in that corner for weeks. Just because I ain't doing it. Even when you've been called. Let me give you this statement. It is your will against God's, and you will lose. You will lose. You might as well get out of the corner, take your little dunce hat off, and go over and have it in hand and apologize to the teacher with sincerity. Oh, because the teacher also knows the sincerity of your heart, doesn't he? You ever had a hollow apology? Yeah, usually it was when mom made your brother or your sister come apologize to you, and you knew they really didn't mean it. Mom, dad standing behind you. You apologize to him. Mom and dad's behind him and they're going, sorry. And you knew it. And it irritated you because mom and dad bought into that. Well, no, there, they apologize. You're like, yeah, but they didn't mean it. I'm not going to accept something that I know wasn't meant. Listen, folks, God knows the sincerity of your heart. He's liable to be telling you, why don't you go put your hat back on, go back in the corner for a while, till your heart's right, till the sincerity of your repentance is true. Because you ain't fooling me a bit. That's what God says. David longed. He had a desire to be restored to the good days. By the way, the good days weren't based on what was going on around him. The good days were based on his walk and his relationship with God. Those were the good days. What are you basing your good days on? What are you basing your joy on? Are you basing your joy on those ever-changing outward circumstances? You're putting your stock in the wrong, you know, in the wrong thing. Your joy needs to be in the Lord. David is praying for his joy to come back again. Okay, so what's the road back? Maybe today you're here and you've said, you know what, that's kind of me. Different circumstance, different situation, but man, I have no joy. I am the most bitter person there is. I don't even like myself. You ever been there? You're like, I know people can't stand me because I can't really stand myself. This is not me. This is not who I've been created to be. This is not the person God has called me to be. Lord, I want to be restored to the me that you created. Lord, I'm repenting. How do I get back? How do I get on the road back to recovery, the road to joy? Well, first of all, the road is remembering. Remember what God has done for us? Do we really visit the joy of salvation in our lives? Do we really, really remember? Listen, remembering means every day when you get out of bed to realize that God gave you the gift of another day. I read something here just recently that was talking about a person that asked another person, said, you know, I think it might have been Marcia, I think, answered it, or somebody said something about, do you make that bed every day? Do you put all them throw pillows on that bed every day? You know, some of you have that. You've got 97 of them little pillows that you sprinkle throughout the bed. And you put them all up there. And the thought of the whole post was about this. And it was obviously, yes, I get up every day and I make that bed because it's like wrapping up a package that I get to unwrap. In other words, every night when I go to sleep, I get the joy of waking up. So I get to wrap that package up because every day is a new gift. Do we really view that in that regard? Do we really look at the fact that we're walking on two legs as a gift? Do we really look at the fact that we have the ability to be here today with God's people in God's house to worship Him as a privilege and as a joy? Do we look at the privilege that we have to be able to serve Him? Do we look at that as a gift? Or do we just get up every day like with this entitlement mindset? I hate that word, entitlement, because it is so telling of our society, isn't it? You owe me this. Folks, God don't owe you your next breath. We owe Him. We need to be blessed in what we do. See, the road back is remembering who God is. Remembering God's provision, remembering what God does. The road back is a road of confession. Lord, I have sinned. I can no longer tuck this away or try to hide it. I know that you know what's going on. God, I'm confessing it before you. I'm repenting. I am turning around. I don't ever want to be back here again. The road to joy begins with confession. The road to recovery also begins with faith, the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Do you long to have your joy back again? By the way, we've all been there. We may be there today. If you go home every day and your blood pressure is up because of one thing or another, you need to revisit your joy. Oh, listen, that's easy to do in a church. Let me tell you something. If Murphy's Law lives in a church, if it can go wrong, it will. Just ask, the stuff that you all have not seen, what it takes to get a Sunday service to go forward. It takes sound people. It takes the video people. It takes all that. And let me make you a promise. Something is going to break. The church gnomes are active around here, aren't they, Ernie? They reset stuff all the time on that board when nobody else is around. The computer all of a sudden decides to gain a mind of its own. The video equipment decides to change settings just like that. And we fight our way through these things. Now, it's going to either do one of two things. It's either going to make us better or it's going to make us bitter. And I have to confess, there are some days it's made me bitter. And there are some days when I'm sitting back thinking, you know what? It'd be nice. Lord, just, it's all Satan. It's his fault. He's a liar. He's a cheat. He's a thief. I know whose fault it is. It's his. But boy, it's easy to blame other people, isn't it? What's the matter with Ernie back there? What's the matter with Tim? What's going on up there? Don, what are you doing over there? You asleep over there in the other building? It's easy to blame other people. It's easy to get bitter. It's not their fault. It's Satan himself. I don't know about you. I want my joy back. I want the joy of serving the Lord again. And let me tell you what the good part is. We can have it. He promises that. There's a scripture a little bit further down in our passage today. You don't have to turn there, but verse 17 of our text says, I actually go verse 16, for you do not desire sacrifice, or else I would give it. You do not delight in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise. Have you got a broken spirit? Has the Lord broken your spirit today? Has he given you do you have a contrite heart? Give it to him, and he will restore your joy. You see, joy is a great thing, isn't it? Peace is a great thing, isn't it? Blessed is the man whose transgressions are forgiven. Have you been forgiven? Your joy will return as you return to the Lord, confessing your sins. And we've all got them. I can't tell you how many times I've had to say, Lord, I've been so busy trying to be your servant that I hadn't really been your servant. Lord, I've been too busy trying to preach a sermon that I had to actually been your disciple. It's easy to do, isn't it? Lord, create in me a clean heart that I might worship you. For Father, today I am coming home. What is it that God has spoken to you today? Brad, you come on up. We're about ready to have our time of invitation. And you know, here's the interesting part. If you came here this morning seeking God, then you found him in some way. Regardless of me, regardless of Vicky or Brad or anybody else, if you came in here looking to hear a word from the Lord today, he gave it to you. A, did you come in looking for a word from the Lord today? B, did he give it to you? All right, you ready for C? What are you going to do with it? Are there adjustments that need to be made in your life? What is it? Maybe today the Lord has said, you've been a great person, a great churchman. Hell's going to be full of churchmen. I believe there are so many people today that sit in the pews every Sunday morning that are deceived about what salvation really is. Salvation is not about what you do. Salvation is about who you know. Have you trusted Jesus? Have you given him your heart? If not, listen, if that's the call of the Lord on your heart today, then just simply pray, Lord, forgive my sins and save my soul as I cry out to you in Jesus' name. Now, I can make you a promise that prayer is conversation with God. And if you did that and you meant it with your heart, then he just saved your soul. Now, he wants you to live for him. You're one of His children. You got a new set of marching orders. There's a new, you should have new desires. Now, that comes with time. That's spiritual growth. It comes with time. He'll give you the joy. He'll give you the walk. Now, some of us in here have known the Lord, but we've decided that our way is better than His way. Everybody that's followed the Lord for any amount of time has done that at least once in your life. When you said, I'm going to do it my way. Didn't work out real well, did it? Some of us today need to cry out for the Lord to return the joy of our salvation. And He'll do it. Will you confess before Him? Will you repent before Him? Will you allow Him control of your life? If that's you, just simply say, Lord, today I'm coming home. I'm tired of the separation. I am tired of the life of doldrums. Lord, restore to me the joy of my walk with You. Help me day by day, moment by moment, to draw close to You. May my joy change someone else's life for the better. In Jesus' name I pray. You know what? The Lord is good like that. This is an example. This is one of His. He loves it when His children get their act together. Today, will the joy be restored to your soul? If you need me, I'm here. If you need this altar, it's here. Through our time of invitation, I ask you to deal with what God has put on your heart. Remember, I said if you came looking for a word from Him, you received it. What are you going to do with it? So as we stand, as we sing our invitation hymn, whatever response you need to make, you do it before the Lord, whether it's through prayer, whether it's at this altar, whether it's right here, you make that move right now. If they would make their way down as we receive the Lord's tithe and our offering. If you are watching our broadcast today, I know there are a lot of folks that with this rise in COVID situations, folks are taking precautions and staying home. If you are at home, there is an online giving option. If you go to our website, www.oakridgecbc.org, there is a giving tab. You can give to the church in that way and in that regard. If you are watching our broadcast and you don't have a church home, we ask that you consider supporting the ministries of Central Baptist Church in Oak Ridge, North Carolina, that we could continue to get the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ out to a lost and dying world. Let's pray together. Father, as we come to You now, again, we're grateful and thankful for the fact that You have provided so much in our lives. Lord, we should be the most joyous people in the world. I pray, Father, that as we come to this point in this time of worship, for Lord, giving back truly is worship. We pray, Lord, that you will help us to be faithful in giving back to you that portion that you have so richly bestowed upon us. Lord, it's not just about what you want to do through your church, but Lord, it's about how you want to bless each and every individual as we're faithful to give back to you. Lord, you can never trust us with more if we're not faithful with what we have right now. So Lord, may we be found faithful in returning the tithe and the offering, for we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Vicky. Just going to give you a couple things before we get you on out the door. Just as a reminder, there is our blood drive coming up January the 11th. That's Tuesday, right? Is that a Tuesday? Tuesday. Katie helps out with that. Matter of fact, she kind of runs that. So if there's any way that you might want to volunteer, help out, and if anything, just lend us an arm for half hour or so. Katie can get you fixed up, does a fantastic job coordinating the blood drives here at Central Baptist. So that is going to be Tuesday, January the 11th from 2:30 to 6:30. If you can help, that's Katie right down here down front. See Katie. Also, just want to let folks know, we will not be having evening activities here at the church. We've got a lot of folks who are regular sick. Let's just say that. You know, a lot of, there's a rise in COVID, but there's a lot of people who have some upper respiratory things, a lot of people that are not sure what it is, but just about everybody we know are dealing with that. Our Awana leaders, we've got a bunch of those that have the upper respiratory type issues. So we feel like it's better to be safe than sorry when it comes down to this evening. So we won't be having any activities, including Awana. This evening, Awana will start back up next Sunday evening unless there's change. Like I say, everything is so fluid these days, but we're just taking it one day at a time. So just wanted to let folks know, no evening activities around the church today. We also have next Sunday, which is the 16th, is our regular church conference business meeting. Immediately after our evening worship service, so we want to plan for that. And just to let you know, as we before we depart today, if you're a card sender, social media poster, or whatever you may be, birthdays for this week. Katie Nelson tomorrow has a birthday. She's getting another year older. I'm not going to touch that with a 10-foot pole. I don't talk about ages. Also on what's that? Just come for the blood drive to say happy birthday. That's it. She would love that. Also this week, Thursday, David Wilson. Many of y'all remember David Wilson. His birthday is Thursday. On Friday, you have Misty Logan and David Gant. And then on Saturday is Mitch Logan and Denise Huffman. So again, if you send cards or let folks know by way of social media, I'm sure they would love to hear from you, just to let them know that you're praying for them and that God's going to give them a good day. Look, let us see the joy of the Lord restored. Amen? All right, let's all stand. We'll be dismissed in a word of prayer, and we'll look forward to meeting around the Lord's house again as soon as viably possible. But let's pray. Father, you're good to us. We come to you now thanking you and praising you for this opportunity. We pray, Father, that you will truly help us to search our hearts. May the Holy Spirit speak to us in a fashion that pinpoints where we've lost our joy. Lord, may we be the most joyous people on the face of this planet, that when others see us, they will want what we have, and we will be able to confess to them that it is Jesus Christ who is Lord that brings joy to life. Lord, if there's sin in our life that is creating separation, may you make us aware of that. Give us the strength and the courage to repent, Lord, that we might be restored unto you. Father, as we go away from here, keep us safe, keep us healthy. Help us to keep serving you, Lord, today better than we have in the past. And Lord, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, folks. We'll see you.